Okay, we're going to try something a little differently, and we'll explain why that is. So normally at this time, we would play the disclaimer, where it goes, do it, Alex.
WPRK, Winter Park, Florida. The views and opinions heard on Out Loud Orlando are those of the hosts and callers, and not the opinions of WPRK or Rollins College.
He's good. Them chicken nuggets is baller, yo. Chicken nuggets crazy like you never seen.
Welcome to the free show.
No. Then the show goes. Welcome to the creep show. Welcome to the creep show.
La 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 la. The homo happy hour.
It's good.
It's good for you.
For real, for fun, for everyone. You're listening to Outlet Orlando, the homo happy hour, gayradioshow.com, the most unique radio show of its kind, heard every Tuesday, 4 o'clock, gayradioshow.com. Streaming online and archived on the free TuneIn Radio app. If you download TuneIn Radio on your phone and search WPRK, you can listen to the rest of the show anytime you want to. This is show number, I don't know, because my notepad's not here, so
522.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm your host, DJ Justice, and with cast and crew here, we're going to take you through what's going on this past week, what's coming up this next week, and let's just jump right into introducing everyone, and then I'll explain what's going on today and what happened horribly wrong. Jeff X is back with us, my Thanksgiving leftovers. Good to see you, man.
What up? Thanks for having me.
Call him leftovers.
Yeah, that's what he called me last time.
Alex the friend term, what's up, dude?
Welcome.
I partially blame you for what's happening today, because I dropped the ball. I'm falling
Everyone
apart.
Everyone makes their own individual decisions.
I'm falling apart, and I'm really just losing it at this point. And then she comes here on the bus, the manager of the Better Bareback Bottom Business Bureau, Lady Barry Matthews. How you doing?
Where your bottom needs are fulfilled.
Okay, so as you may notice, there is no intro and no disclaimer, and there won't be any other recorded song. So if you were, this is the weird. I feel naked. I feel really naked right now.
I feel naked too.
The show always has, you know, my laptop, the podcast mic, my carefully well sketched out, notes and outline for the show, and my composition notebook, and then printouts with highlighted news and things like that. In addition to just having, an off day, I'm almost even contemplating whether or not to talk about what happened to me in Publix earlier. But I'll go ahead and just.
Wow.
Oh. Yeah. So.
The gay Publix?
No, not the gay Publix. Not
There's
the gay,
a gay Publix?
Yes. Well, it's where most gay. It really is.
Wait, what's the gay Publix to you?
It's the one on
downtown.
It's the one on 50, on Colonial.
Oh, okay. No, to me, the gay Publix is the one across from Lake Eola.
No. That's like the classy. That's like the classy.
That's also known
downtown.
For a lot of us as the gay Publix.
No, the gay Publix has always been the one on Colonial before you get to Mills.
Is it by Bumby?
Yeah, between Bumby and Mills. That's
yeah, I know which one.
I'm sure they love this, but it's the gay Publix because it's frequented. Yeah. You go in there and it's slam packed full of gays. Your grinder
is
blowing
same
up.
Same with the one.
Is it cruisy?
Listen, I will not tell a lie. Sometimes I get caught up in before I'll go into a store, I'll finish a conversation, I'll finish something on Facebook, on my phone, whatever. And so I once was in the parking lot for maybe 10, 15 minutes before I went into the store taking care of some business and noticed two guys in particular that kept sitting in their car, not doing anything. They would sit and watch guys. They would get out of their car and start walking to the Publix. And then one of them walked back and went to his car. One of the guys went in. And then the second guy, the guy got out again and he went to go walk into the Publix. But when some other hot guy walked out of the store, he walked back to his car. He was waiting for someone that he wanted to hit on to go into the Publix and then decide to go in and do his shot. He was trying to set up I'm going to meet my fiance or my next booty call by dropping a gallon of milk on his feet. He was trying to set up.
I'm so sorry. Let's get married.
I was oops. Oh, well, they say you're going to meet your future significant other at the grocery store, and here I am. Uncompletely scripted at all.
But let's be honest, that's a lot better than meeting him at the club.
Very true, but the Publix in Central Ave, right next to Lake Eola, every time
that's
I go there.
That's a small one, though. That's a really small Publix.
It's always packed with gays, and I don't even need to get on any app. I just walk in, and people will just start trying to pick you up.
Yeah.
I don't know that feeling.
Well, I was at one of the non-gay Publix. Thank God, my reputation would have been completely sullied. I'm going to talk about it. I had an accident. I had an accident today. So I'm walking into the Publix, and I was like, I have to.
That's a word.
So legit, the first thing I did was I had to go and take off and throw away the box of beer. They're in the garbage.
Aww.
So that's how the day started. And then the reason there's no microphone is because Alex came over before the show and we were just talking. He was telling me about his trip. We'll talk. It was one of the three things I learned this week. And I had to go back inside the house to, I think it's like a lower intestinal thing today. I had to go, I left you. I said, oh, wait, I'll meet you at the station. Yeah. I have to go to the bathroom. And I walked back into the house. Evidently, I just hopped back into the car and picked up Jeff and left my book bag at the house. Oh. Left the entire book bag. Mm-mm-mm. Like the thing I carry, the microphone, the computer. So thankfully, Ricky, the tech guy, is recording the podcast, and we'll like edit the music back in, or we'll just leave us to do it. So this is like the Glee a cappella Pitch Perfect version of the show.
Unplugged.
It really is odd, man. Like, I've never done a show without some form of like technology in front of me. So I'm like hastily trying to write down my notes and do everything else. So it's
stressful. But yeah, it's funny how you didn't realize it until we literally parked there.
Yeah. we parked the car. And I tried to do the math. I was like, do I have time?
Open the back door, like, oh, my... Wait,
maybe it's my life trying to tell you that you're too old to be carrying a book bag.
You know what? Yeah. Well, you know.
It's messenger bag time. It's time to upgrade.
But it's JanSport, though. It's so convenient. It's so well done on
the
shoulders.
Are you 12 and going to middle school this year?
I had the same book bag from
JanSport and Vans.
I had the same blue JanSport from sixth grade until 2013.
Yeah,
no, like, because you know it's guaranteed for life. Like that book bag has been through more than anything in my life. Uh-huh. It's been through hookups, relationships, straight, college, law school,
longer travel. Than the radio show,
travel, huh?
Longer than the radio show?
Yeah, that's since I was 12.
Oh my goodness, that's the longest relationship then.
Yeah, do you know what it is? I used to always say my longest relationship was with my backpack until it just said no and broke. Yeah.
I know the feeling. I retired my bag that I had for about 15 years, and I have it. I kept it as a keepsake, but that's it. But,
Have my mesh JanSport from middle school, and I still use it to today.
Did you have to have a mesh book bag for rules? Like,
yeah, because I lived in the hood, and people brought guns and knives to school.
So if you have a mesh book bag, the idea is we can see the knives and guns in your book bag and prevent you from doing anything.
The best part is when I go to like the movies or something, and they're like, "We need to look in your bag," and I just turn around and like I'm like, "Boom, there it is. It's mesh. You can see through it. I don't have to open nothing."
Don't need a microphone for that. Before we do the three things I learned this week, I wanted to give make sure I mentioned last night, Rob Ward, you know, the co-host emeritus of the show, who's been on since 2010. Oh, Rob Ward has his Pepe Chrisma Hana Kwanzaa special. Mm-hmm. And it was at the venue. Got to go to that last night. Got to see a lot of entertainers and from the theater community, the drag community, the dance and art community. And it was a good time. It was a great show. All the money raised at the door and donated. He matched the tips. He matched all the tips that were tipped during the show. It all went to the Barber Fund. Which is a cancer charitable organization named after John Barber, John Tweak-a-Weed Barber, who was an entertainer here in town who lost his battle to cancer several years ago. This is his legacy. So it was at the venue. Blue was there. It was a good time. So, you know, they raised over $850 to donate to charity and in one night. So, you know, I love the fact that we have talented people on the show, and I love the fact that, you know, we were able to go and be a part of that. And it's also the third day of Hanukkah. A little known fact, I only recognize the third day of Hanukkah. So happy Hanukkah to all of our Jewish listeners.
L'chaim.
Happy Hanukkah. And I only recognize one other day of Hanukkah, but it's a secret until it happens.
Oh, so you can... it's like the mystery wild card day.
I guess.
Wild card Hanukkah.
Oh,
wild card. I love it.
Let's say, okay, well, now we have to play the song, The Three Things That Justice Learned This Week. Okay, one, two, ready? Go.
The three things that Justice learned this week. The three things he learned this week. Not one or two or four or five. It's the three things he learned this week.
Yeah. And then you hear, you actually hear the where I hit the space bar to stop recording. I just left that little note back.
Hold on.
If you ever listen to the show, you can listen to that little known fact. So the first thing I learned this week was Art Basel was this weekend.
Art Basel.
How do you say it?
Art Basel, like Basel, Switzerland.
Basel, Switzerland. Okay, little Alex the friend turn went down there. And the only reason I really knew about it or cared about it was because I actually read about this event that takes place in Miami. It's a huge, giant, citywide art event, performance art, visual art, all over the place, crazy party. And I read about it in like the bilingual magazine on the 13-hour flight back from Argentina, South America. So, because they were writing about, you know, Argentina's placement, because it's like a global event.
It's a global
event. It's international. Yes. So, I mean, what was it like? How did it go?
Well, it was pretty much exactly like as you imagine it being. Like, there were many vibrant individuals from all over the world. A lot of artists being represented from Europe, from South America, crazy, especially LA, New York. Like, all of the major art communities were being represented. So, there's the major Basel that's in South Beach, and that's at the South Beach Convention Center. And then you just have all of these wild...
The major Basel, you know... Off the shins from there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like how he said vibrant when he really meant weirdo people.
Right.
Unique, let's be eccentric. Honest. Art people are weird. They're eccentric.
Part of being an artist and being a successful artist is truly buying your own hype and like believing whatever it is you're putting out there. Like if you convince yourself of it and you convince other people of it, you're an artist.
You gotta drink your own Kool-Aid.
Yep.
Yeah, but Art Basel also screwed up Miami's traffic.
Yo, oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it was a mess.
They dread it every year.
The
they dread it.
Took me at least 45 minutes, like, to get there because you're just, you're sitting literally, and it just seems like it's never going to end. Mm-hmm. And it's
some family and friends had a 20-minute ride back home, and it took them 2 hours.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
What was your favorite exhibit that you got to see? Like, would you say you got to see all the things you wanted to see, or is there so much that you have to, like, pick and choose? Did you see 50% of it, or did you see 20% of it?
You really do have to pick and choose, because when you say citywide, it is exactly that. There are galleries all over Miami. It's such an artful town. So.
What exhibits do they put in, like, the hood? Like, the hood, D.A. hood?
Well, I mean, there is a lot of, well, Wynwood, the Miami's art district is a gentrified part of the hood, and just north of it is hood, just south of it is Overtown, which is Miami's like worst ghetto, but it's all represented through like street art and graffiti. That's what sort of makes Miami's art district what it is.
Okay, so I heard a story, but I didn't read into more details because like I knew you were going to talk about it on the air. Does that have to do with the headline that I saw that some woman got stabbed at this art event and people didn't know it was really happening because they thought it was performance art? So she's like in the hood and she got stabbed, but nobody called the police because they're like, oh my God, you're such a great actor. This is so artistic. You're getting stabbed.
But here's the great part though. It wasn't in the hood. It was in South Beach at the South Beach Convention Center. It was an Asian student. She was like 20 something years old and she's following this lady around and keeps bumping into her. So when the lady's like, yo, WTF, she just grabs an X-Acto knife and like stabs her a couple of times.
Who, the Asian or the old woman?
The Asian lady.
The Asian.
Well, it was two young Asian ladies and one Asian lady was following another Asian lady and stabs her like 7 times. And then when the police arrested her.
And then she like holds up her arm and it says like crazy Asian presented by Chuck.
She said, I just had to watch her bleed and then I had to stab two other people.
That sounds like a crazy art exhibit.
Oh my goodness.
It does.
I just imagined a whole bunch of people.
And then when people saw like the area taped off, the security was actually lying to people saying that a statue had fallen onto some girl, lying about it so that people wouldn't get into a panic.
That's
because you wouldn't expect that at such a prestigious event. Like,
what was your favorite exhibit that you saw? You showed me a couple of pictures and a couple of videos, and it was very cool.
I'm going to be totally frank. My favorite exhibits were the ones that had free beer at them, because there is a lot of sponsored gallery events going on during this time.
What kind of gallery is this, like Bud Light or like Natty Ice sponsor?
Well, no, it's not even that. It's like it was like a German beer, Beck's. Like it was like a German lager.
Fancy.
Like,
this Art Basel by Ingelhofer Beer. This the Grapefruit Beer made in Frankfurt.
Red Bull has a really big presence in Miami. Ow! And Red Bull actually owns that beer company. So...
Who hurts themselves?
I'm like pricking myself with this. I don't have a keyboard, so my hands are very raccoony right now. Like I'm very. It's performance art. I just stabbed myself and pricked myself in the figure because you know it's important that you know get that little drop of blood and get tested and have your Oroquel test done and check for AIDS. Yeah.
Are you gonna paint a self portrait with that blood now?
I just listen. This is a rough day for me so far. I mean, it sounds better than I think it does in my head, but it's just making me very uncomfortable. I'm a very slightly OCD creature of habit. I like things being a certain way, and one of the things that has been a certain way for almost seven years has been that computer, the microphone, the sound checks, my access to whatever I need to, my pre-written, you know, notes to kind
you
of
see
like,
what you did, Alex.
Is this literally the first time you've forgotten all that stuff?
Yeah, sometimes I might forget the notebook. Sometimes I might forget the notebook. I can scratch out the notes. Sometimes I might forget the cord. I still have the laptop, but someone can record it. Sometimes I may forget the power cord for the laptop. I can go run, grab one, and keep the thing, you know, run. So this truly is like the most unplugged episode of the radio show we have ever done. Out Loud Orlando, GayRadioShow.com, unplugged. Give us a call, 407-646-2915. We're already, you know, halfway through the show, but if you want to hit us up on Twitter. That's Twitter at Gay Radio Show. I don't really have any way to check it. I guess my phone will go off. But if you want to leave if you want to check that out, you can go to our Twitter page.
Twitter.
At Gay Radio Show and do hashtag Gay Radio Show. We'll get that right away. Were you near where the stabbing took place?
No, actually not. I honestly wanted to stray away from South Beach just because I cannot stand going there or driving there. Mm-hmm. I actually refrained from that area. I pretty much stayed in like Miami's art district the entire time. It was actually a pretty good time.
South Beach. You're just so non-pretentious and just, you know, hipster and just above it all, aren't you?
The young
20-year-old upstart alley. You're like, I don't really do that type of Miami.
I just imagine a whole bunch of people with top buns, sunglasses. I did get invited to South Beach.
There's like a hotel of sorts. I'm guessing in my head it's like a more glamorous kind of Parliament House. It's called the Gathering. Yeah, and it
Miami's
sounds
like home, a bad Miami's M. Night for me.
Sounds like a bad M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Yeah, dude. And yeah, I got invited to that, but then I'm like, well, first of all, I was like, nah, I'm not gonna drive all the way over there, and especially because I was a little drunk. Yeah.
From Fee Bex.
You know, when it comes to, they have a lot of power. When it comes to, going down. Now, you mentioned the top. I'm sorry. You threw me off when you said the top bun. I was going to talk about that. You're not sporting the top bun anymore. Is that because it's no longer stylish? Or did like the Hipster Monthly come out and say, hey, guys, we're changing it up?
They had their meeting at the bottom.
Or is it like, hey, too many people have a top bun, yeah, so it's not cool exactly. anymore?
We were talking about Hello by Adele and how it's oversaturated. And so is the top bun market. So I've decided
to
buy
this?
Out.
I'm getting off the mic. Didn't I tell you this 7 months ago that you're going to look at it and it's going to be the mullet of 2015? And you're like, oh, no, it's cool. It's trendy. I got the top bun.
It's all
and
now trends you got come like, to an end.
And now you got like the side do.
Yeah.
And now you got like the side do looking like Prince's like biracial gay little brother.
Apocalypto.
That would, you know what I bet that is Prince's biracial gay little brother's name, Apocalypto. That just makes sense.
The worst part is that I was actually on Groupon and an ad came up.
Hold on.
You know where I'm going with this?
Can you do a segment next week called This Week on Groupon and just find something?
Definitely. They actually had fake man buns. Clip-ons.
I did see that.
Yeah, I was like, what? You got to be kidding me. I couldn't
like
believe
they have
that.
Neeks, so like if you wanted, if I wanted to jump onto the trend right now, my hair's not long enough to like put into a bun.
Just go on Groupon.
I can just like, I can like bobby pin the little bun in and have like a buzz do and then have like boom, like the Princess Leia side bun on the back of my head.
Oh my goodness.
That's great, man.
But yeah, I'm an innovator, so.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Alex.
Really?
Alex.
Innovator.
You are so basic and hipster. I love you. I care about you. I genuinely
so
love you like a little. No, I'm just looking at it from an old guy that's been like, okay, what's the current trend? Alex is doing it.
Yeah.
Alex is,
you do have beautiful hair.
The younger
hair,
you are, the more thank susceptible you. To gorgeous fads hair. You are, so.
Yeah. Stand up. Show everyone your pants. Come on, stand up.
Wait, are they the drop crotch?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
They are. Yes.
I have some like that, but.
Oh, what is that in your nose? Is that a nose piercing?
Yes.
Wait, just for the listeners.
Did you make a Facebook post about wearing pajamas to college last week?
I wear leggings.
I'm wearing my pajamas to college. I'm not listening to that music anymore because too many people like it now, and I want to be trendy and cutting edge. I don't listen to that commercial EDM, you know.
Thanks for South Parkifying me. Oh, man.
Someone else got there was. I also saw there was like an orgy at the end.
Saturday night to close out Art Basel.
Was that an art exhibit?
A nice old orgy. No, actually, it was just like, you know, members of the art community. It was invite only, and actually, I read that only women were allowed to initiate. And men just had to sort of stand like a Sadie Hawkins dance and hope to God that they would be chosen.
Well, no, it makes sense. I mean, if you're at an event, you don't want like creepers coming up and talking to like every, you want to like have fun. And like, I mean, in that situation, I think you avoid a lot of potential problem when you leave it in the hands of the women so the woman doesn't feel uncomfortable
pressure
or, you know, there's no confusion about the consent and the approach and things like that.
Were people masked, like masquerade?
Yeah, it was like
eyes wide shut.
Everyone had to like wear like a mask or something to conceal identity. I just thought it was crazy that it was like a Miami Herald article.
We can just put on masks and go to Club Orlando.
We're going to help each other.
Because, you know, evidently when it's really busy, so Alex and I have heard, there's this one part where they turn off the lights completely. And if it's full of a lot of people, it's like walking through a human centipede. And so you have to like walk through the human centipede, but you really can't see like what's going and who's doing and what's feeling and where's this going. And so you kind of like, so you kind of go through that whole situation. Mm-hmm. Little did, hypothetically, did Alex know that I was walking behind him when we went into this, because I'm trying to keep an eye on my little friend, like make sure my friend who's okay. Cause you know, he could be taken and abducted and put into like a JanSport backpack and just like taken away.
Not the mesh one though.
So that went on for like maybe 20 minutes or so. And then we both happened to walk out. He turns around and goes, wait, that was you? He was pissed off because he thought it was a stranger.
Oh. Yeah, I wanted the sort of like, you know, anonymous experience.
It was anonymous when it happened.
Like, woo, here's a person that I don't know that's right.
Yeah.
But it was him the entire time.
Seriously, eat me. I'm organic. Okay? Because, you know, I'm only, you know, really into like that gluten-free, organic, you know, bi-postal, post 9/11 cured dairy, non-dairy trade. Product.
Animal cruelty-free.
Yeah, meat. Thank you very much.
Are you gluten-free?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever had a problem with gluten.
Not me either.
I mean, I think you would have more symptoms of like, what is it, celiac disease or celiac disease or
celiac.
Sounds like a Harry Potter teacher. And and so I think you'd have like more symptoms of noticing something's wrong and then maybe cutting that out and noticing that it gets better. Okay. I feel pretty good with a lot of stuff.
I am lactose intolerant. Is that okay?
You are lactose intolerant?
Mm-hmm.
Ew, really?
Yeah.
Oh, we talked about that on
you
the
can't
before.
Have quiche.
We have.
I what
did we talk about last
you
week?
Can't have quiche.
Who wants quiche? Like,
I'm thinking cheese. I'm thinking ice cream. I'm thinking a milkshake.
Yeah. This one over here, hipster Brody over here, is thinking about quiche. When I think of hipsters, I think of that name. Hello, Brody. Hello, Gash. I don't know. Whatever your name is.
I knew a girl named that in college. Anyway, you know, I mentioned flying back from Argentina and reading the magazine about Art Basel. Did I say it right?
Yeah.
Art Basel. And if you want to go to, this is really cool. I'm really actually proud of this, and I like to share experiences that I get to have. And the best way I was able to do it with this trip down to South America, you know, was to put up the video. So the adventure video for my trip to South America, mountain climbing down in Argentina, the Patagonian Range, that is up on gayradioshow.com. It's right there at the top. It's a YouTube video. It links to all of our other YouTube videos. And you know what? I'm very proud of the video. I had the concept in mind. I kind of had the idea of what I wanted to accomplish, the shots I wanted to get. And especially the end, you know, I took dozens and dozens of kind of stuff. You'll have to watch it. There's a special segment about a minute long at the end that came together the way I wanted to. And if it shares kind of the experience that I got to go through, like I've said many times, it was the most intense spiritual and physical thing I've ever put myself through. This is just a glimpse of that. Yeah. And I guess I'm glad I got to save it and have that video to show family and friends. But, you know, it's cool to have it and share it with listeners and other people as well, because I do directly tie it to my story, my cancer story, about, you know, don't just be a cancer survivor, be a conqueror. And so I hope you watch that. And then right underneath that is a clip that I'll have to include in the podcast. It's a song. It's audio. It's the best audio ever that we took at Pulse Nightclub in 2011. Mm-hmm. It could never be played on air. There would be way too many bleeps. And it was an interview at Pulse Nightclub with this drunk little gay boy who decides to start going off on the 12 days of Christmas. And so it's the 12 drunk gay days of Christmas. It was our first video on YouTube ever. Could never be played on the air because this kid starts going off. He's like cursing at the maids of milking. He doesn't know what they're milking. He's like bitching out the swans. He's mad at the ducks. He's going to punch his true love in the face if they give him a partridge in a pear tree. He's going to stab a bird. Like it's pretty much the most glamorous example of drunk shenanigans at a club. And so that video is up there as well. And then I'll include the audio in the Uncensored podcast here.
Podcast exclusive.
Ouch. Fucking stab him in the fucking face.
We're here with Nemesis Adonis, little bastard, dissecting the 12 days of Christmas. Okay, so,
bullshit. 12 days of bullshit.
Okay.
Who the fuck wants a goddamn fucking partridge? Chill the fucking pear tree. It's chilling. It's fucking chilling.
Sounds kind of silly, huh?
I don't give a fuck. It's chilling. And retarded. And that bitch loves Christmas. What else?
Okay, now listen. You obviously have some thoughts. We got to work through this. Okay.
I do.
I want your opinion on the following gifts, okay?
Okay. Tell me.
12 Lords of Leaping.
I just saw it.
Fucking retarded. Who the fuck wants Lords of Leaping? Look at prancing. Look at prancing.
11 Pipers piping. Okay. 11 Pipers piping.
12 Pipers piping or what? 11 Pipers piping?
11 Pipers piping.
11 Pipers piping. I'd be pissed off. First of all, my true love, if he gets to me, I'd fucking punch his ass out.
All right, 10 drummers drumming.
Oh, even worse. That gave me a fucking migraine.
9 ladies dancing.
I'm gay. I'm fucking gay. What the fuck were my toilet dancing?
No, 9 ladies dancing.
What the fuck were my toilet dancing? What the fuck?
Okay. On the 8th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 8 maids of milking.
What? What? 12 cows?
No, 8 maids of milking.
Of what? Cows?
8 maids milking something? What do you think?
Cows? Do I have 12 cows just laying around?
8 maids, 8 cows.
Wait. Wait. Do I have 12 cows of clean my room?
So is that, you wouldn't want that gift?
Oh, fuck no. I'd be pissed off. I'd punch up in your face.
All right.
What the hell?
Now, will we go beyond, in the song, The 12 Days of Christmas, it's, you know, it's like people and there's like animals and stuff. So, okay, how about 7 swans of swimming?
Of what? In my pool?
No, 7 swans of swimming.
In my pool? No. No. What goose is wrong enough? If somebody ever gave me a fucking goose for fucking Christmas, I'd punch that bitch in the fucking face.
This is 7 swans of swimming.
I don't give a fuck.
Then there's 6 geese a lane.
Exactly. That's disgusting. What goose is wrong enough? They're dirty. They're gonna hiss at you. They're gonna bite you when you fucking give free fucking food. Free food. Free fucking food.
All right, 5 golden rings.
Where's my dotted accent?
5 golden rings.
Where's my diamond accent at?
I don't understand what you're saying.
Diamond accent.
Your diamond accents on
your diamond accent.
On your 5 golden rings.
Yes.
Okay.
What? Walmart?
Do you remember the next
fucking
one?
Fucking Walmart?
You remember the next one? We did 5 golden rings, then
6 geese a-laying.
No. Okay, then 4 calling birds.
That's past golden rings.
So, do you want 4 calling birds?
Hell fuck no. They're loud, they're annoying.
3 French hens.
Clucking. Clucking around. Clucking.
3 French hens.
Clucking around. They're fucking annoying. Would you be annoyed? Would you be annoyed?
I might get a little annoyed. 3 French hens.
Clucking.
Yeah.
Like, bah, 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 bah. All fucking night. Like, I'll fucking stop working for anything.
All right. 2 turtle doves.
Pigeons. Fucking pigeons. They're dirty. They're fucking pigeons. They eat garbage. No. I hate birds. They're dirty. They're nasty. They're fucking birds.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
First of all, no. A partridge pear tree, dirty ass bird, up in a pear tree. Trying to eat my fucking pear. I'll fucking stand back on that bird.
Alright, so the 12 days of Christmas, not for you.
12 days of Christmas is a fucking bullshit.
Thank you.
They're nasty. Fucking dirty ass fucking birds. Stupid ass fucking, like, nasty ass. My bad.
Thank you.
First of all,
what?
Click.
Oh my goodness, that was offensive. No, I watched your video on the way here on the bus, and that thing at the end, the thing you were just talking about, please take Dramamine before you watch this part of the video, because I got seasick so much.
The spin shot.
He's a real James Cameron, that one.
You said that you were going to cry about it, and I was worried. I didn't, like,
I just mentioned the link.
I haven't seen it. We mentioned the print. I will. We mentioned the it's up on Gay Radio Show. It's up on gayradioshow.com, the video itself. We mentioned the Prince haircut as well. Like, this is what it sounds like when doves cry. This is what it sounds like when drag queens cry on a bus.
On a bus, yeah. And then that part where you're like roping over a river, I totally thought you were going to die. I knew.
I had to rope over a river.
Yeah, I was like, how?
Oh, and the water's freezing. That's like a half melted glacier. Like that's what that water is.
My goodness.
And so it's like a giant Earth ice cube that's just like melting. And
I just imagine me going across that and me just dragging through the water anyway because I'm weighing the rope down so much. I just everything in that video. I just imagined myself doing it and be like, nope, wouldn't happen. Nope, I would fall. I'd be dead right there. Right there. Okay. Yeah. Died. All right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Dead.
Speaking of what it sounds like when drag queens cry on a bus, let's do it. Time for Today in the Bus with Lady Barry Matthews. Okay, what's the answer? I'm not gonna do it though. I haven't memorized the instrumental to Double Dutch frickin' Bus, okay? I'm sorry.
There's a Double Dutch bus coming down the street. Moving really. I love that song.
Will they use the pills? Yeah, it is Double Dutch.
I think we're ready for my segment now. Today on the bus, it actually happened before I got on the bus. I was at the bus stop, and this was yesterday, so I'm not gonna lie to my.
So you're
listeners.
Just like you're just getting your pre-bus everywhere.
Yeah. All right. So I rode the bus yesterday and
lick it up fierce.
You're getting my floor wet.
Pre-bus.
Oh, gross.
Pre-bus.
Oh, now I'm just imagining something the size of a bus. I've completely forgotten my story about the lady yelling at people.
Clean up on Mills traffic. Avenue. Clean up on Mills Avenue.
So I was in Kissimmee, you know, the heartland of America. with a Walmart to one side, an Aldi and a Wawa on the other, and a Cash for Gold on the other corner.
Indeed.
And I'm sitting at the bus stop, and this lovely old lady, blonde hair, pink sweater, high-waisted jeans.
Of course.
She looked lovely and she looked pleasant until she started screaming expletives at the traffic. And
anyone in particular?
At everybody.
Oh, just at all the cars.
And it wasn't like Tourette screaming. It was just like she was crazy. And she was screaming at people. And then I just started laughing because I couldn't help myself. And then she started coming towards me.
Oh, no.
And she called me the B word. She goes, what are you laughing at? And I was like, oh, my goodness. And I saved my Facebook post. I really wish I would have videotaped her because it was amazing. And when she when I walked away towards Wawa, she did actually start walking behind me. And
she didn't try to stab you.
And I thought she was an Asian lady trying to stab me. And
when you share all these stories, I really wonder how you haven't been stabbed or are dead yet. Because you find yourself in situations that would make the normal white person just cry and lose their mind. Like I would feel
I
so uncomfortable.
Especially when we pick up people at the Florida Mall bus stop. I don't want to say anything racist. I'm black. I can say it. It's a lot of dark people, and they scare me. I told you I'm afraid of my own people.
What she means is they're people that have a dark heart and a dark soul because they're looking for like a great deal at the mall.
Yeah. That's what I meant. But yeah, it's very scary, especially when like the crazy people get on the bus and start screaming stuff at random people or like trying to fight people just for looking at them. It's fun. I just try to keep to myself and sit on the hot seats in the back.
What you looking at?
Yeah, like that. Oh, and P.S. if you ever ride the bus, don't sit on the seats in the back because you will have a sweaty behind because the seats are like
the engine is?
And it's like heated. No, in the winter, it's amazing.
We need to do a separate special where she just gives etiquette and tips for riding the bus. Like it could be like Lady Barry's Matthew to bus survival in Orlando, Florida.
Yes. Lady Barry Matthew's guide to
guide to the links.
Wait. So did you figure out why she was mad? Why she was screaming?
No, she was crazy. That's why she was screaming. That is the explanation. There's usually no better explanation.
I mean, crazy people just prefer the bus, or just they're not able to get licenses, or do things to maybe have a car?
We all know there's crazy people behind the wheel. So,
But there's a difference between crazy behind the wheel and so crazy I'm licking the wall and screaming at squirrels that I don't have time to have a job and make money and get insurance and have a vehicle. Like there's 2 degrees of crazy and why you do or don't drive.
Like, have you ever noticed that crazy people just don't drive? Like it's, I guess, because I ride the bus all the time. All the crazy people on the bus. And I'm not going to say that.
I know crazy people.
I almost
people
said something really bad. Yeah,
stop. I'm really glad we're censoring ourselves today. You know, here on the, if you're just tuning in, this is the special It's the unplugged episode of the radio show, and leave it at that. Let the delay build back up. Dang it, people. Okay, so, well, I'm very glad you survived your ride on the bus today.
Yeah, it was fun.
What was it? Your music's fading out. So what was it you were saying about how the segment name has to change? You're no longer going to ride the bus, or
hopefully in the next couple days I will be purchasing a car.
Weren't you just saying a couple weeks ago that you were glad you didn't have a car and didn't want a car and were happy with the bus life?
I was saying that to keep my segment.
Can we get a big old tattoo that says, like, bus life?
Yes. On my flabby stomach.
Well, I'm glad you're getting a bus. I will say this.
I'm getting a bus, yes. I'm getting a
getting
bus.
Getting a car instead of having to ride the bus.
Well, you have to change the name of the segment.
I don't think so. No? The segment's going to always be called Today on the Bus with Lady Driving Mary Miss Berry.
Well, I told you if I got
Driving
a car.
Driving Miss Berry.
I told you if I ever got a car, I would drive my car to a certain point and then ride the bus the rest of the way here.
Just for the segment?
Just for the segment. Dedication.
I think I need to start contributing to the bus. But, wait a minute. I got a legit question for you.
What's that?
When you first came on the show, we talked about how you've had a lot of weight loss in the last couple of years. And the direct correlation was you've been walking more. Are you worried now with the bus? You're like not as active, more drive through, more convenient to get places. Mow
yes,
down.
I'm gonna get fat if that's your question. Yeah. I am gonna get super fat, but I'm gonna be happy because I'm getting the car I want and I won't have to walk anywhere
and talk to crazy people on the bus.
crazy people.
And pick up people that you know have really bad credit and afford them all.
And now the only thing is I have to just listen to myself talk to myself because I do that a lot in the car. Especially when I'm angry, I'll walk and I'm like, oh my, did she just, oh no, she didn't. I'm one of those people that talk about people by myself.
Right. What do you say about me?
Oh, you wouldn't want
there
to
you
know.
Go. Hey, you know you hate it when friends call you out and kind of put you on the spot to ask for a favor?
Mm-hmm.
You know that thing you do that we haven't said on the air?
Yes, I told you that. I told you yes.
Okay, because
are you going to give me $600 to pay off the rest of my car?
No.
I'll let you watch us make out. I mean,
I don't like watching myself make out. Why would I want to watch you make out with somebody?
Very nice. Good job. But thank you very much. That's awesome. Other things that I learned this week, I'll just say this. This is a friendly piece of advice. Not only am I forgetting my book bag and, you know, becoming incontinent at Publix, I'm also been losing. I lost my Redbox box. I rented.
Oh, yeah, I saw that, bro.
I rented Vacation. I rented Inside Out. And literally within less than 24 hours, one of the cases went missing, which leads to the universal question. How on earth do you return a Redbox movie if you don't have their special plasticky case? So I whenever I have a problem, I consult my friend the internet. So I asked my friends on Facebook and everyone's like, you can't, you have to go call them, you have to buy the disc, you have to like buy, and evidently those cases are pretty expensive too. And then finally,
it's a plastic case, really.
No, but it's like a specially designed one for,
yeah, I know,
for, you know,
what, yeah, I know.
And so I ended up not having to figure out the answer to the question because I was rescued by a lesbian over in like Winter Garden who was like, hey, I have an extra one here at my house. So I drove all the way to Winter Garden.
For a $15 DVD, you drove from downtown Orlando to Winter Garden.
Yeah, right?
Just suck it up and pay for the DVD.
I didn't want to own Inside Out or Vacation. I didn't want to own those movies. And so I got the DVD disc. So thank you very much. I promised her a drink next time she's in town. So to Angela, the lesbian in Winter Garden, thank you so much. And just be glad I didn't sue you because her chihuahua definitely bit me above my knee through my jeans and I've got bite marks. So when I went to go hug
sure
her and say, thank
it.
You. Well, no. I said hi. It was less than 2 minutes. Hi, nice to meet you. Thank you so much. You're saving my butt. Let me buy you a drink. Let me give you a hug. Thank you so much. Have a good Christmas. The chihuahua bites my leg, dude. Like, I got
rabies. Little rat.
She wasn't featuring you. So.
Today's show was brought to you by DJ Justice's Facebook post. Because everything you've talked about today, I read on your Facebook on the way here.
You know, don't
what I want to know is how did you lose the case in the first place?
I don't know. Well, I found it eventually. It was underneath a pair of shoes underneath the coffee table. But I looked for it for 3.5 hours.
Wow.
I just didn't look there.
Okay.
Like, how did it get under the table under a pair of shoes?
I don't. No.
You have pets?
No. Was it Netflix and chill?
No, he just does questionable things.
I see.
He does have one pet.
I'm more
How
of
is
a
Daniel doing that?
I'm more of a Hulu. I'm more of an Amazon Prime and commitment type of guy.
Oh, okay. No, you know you're not.
I'm more of a DVR and dab around.
Dedicate. Something like that.
DVR and dedicate.
I love my Showbox.
So there you go. Oh, what is Showbox? Showbox.
What is Showbox? Showbox is a free version of Netflix, Hulu, and all of that put together. They have the latest episodes and movies.
Have you not seen this?
It's an app or it's on the website?
It's an app. You can download. You have to.
You don't have to download anything. It's all on the app. You just click play and it just starts playing.
So if you have Apple TV, you could transmit it up to your big screen, right?
Yeah, if you have Google Chrome, and if you have Chrome TV, any of that, you could just
It's completely legal above board, right?
Oh, it's completely legal.
I'm sure it doesn't violate any copyright restrictions.
All of them. They sometimes have movies on there before the movie is released out of theaters.
All right, well, we're going to stop talking about this because I'm not going to contribute to... Oh, my God. Oh, I could watch Ant-Man?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hotel Transylvania 2 is still in theaters.
What is that? The Lion King 3?
The Lion Guard.
Lion King 3?
Yeah, like Krampus.
Krampus.
Transporter.
I do want to see me some Krampus.
Walking Dead.
TV shows come out the day after they air on TV.
Now, if I watch movies this way, I'm sure that if I donate the money I would have spent on the movie to charity, then I'm square with God, right?
Yeah, sure.
If the movie means a lot to me, I'd still go see it in the theater, and then I'll still come watch it at home after. But
Very nice. Good job. Speaking of other things that are important to me, because of... boom, snap, clapping it. I can no longer listen to gospel music in the car where the singer demands that God, quote, fill me up. So that's just going out the window because lately I've been getting, lately I've been enjoying getting wasted and hopping in my car in park and listening to 106. Well, I guess I shouldn't say other radio stations. Listening to gospel music radio stations.
Uh-huh. We were listening to that on the way here.
It is. What, do you like gospel music? Does it make you feel anything? Get the feels?
Yeah, I'm black, of course.
Okay.
I grew up in a black church. Of course I love gospel.
Right. My favorite part of gospel music is when there's like the pastor or the speaker, mm-hmm. and he's just like talking and the choir's behind him echoing. So he just goes, he's like, oh, God is awesome. Oh, God is awesome. He can heal the sick. He can heal the sick. Draw me from the rain. Draw me from the rain. He's like, you repeat whatever I say. We repeat whatever you say. Even if it's dumb. I love that. It's like they. So I don't know if they practice the song or if they just say, yo, y'all just singing in harmony and just repeat whatever the guy says. Like, look at Mrs. Johnson. Look at Mrs. Johnson. She has a nice sweater. She has a nice sweater.
I like Kirk Franklin. Oh.
I think that's the guy that does that particular gospel song.
I love Kirk Franklin.
So you do know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. Yeah.
What are you talking about?
I don't even know.
You can't be filled up by God or something like that.
We did have a convo about ageism, though.
I did. I'm going to talk about that later, though. I did. That's one of the three things I learned. Sometimes I don't have three things I've learned this week, but by the time I get in the car, I'll just like talk to whoever I'm giving a ride to and think that something they say is interesting, so I write it on my list. So that is on the list. But it is time for us to do, let's do a little bit of news.
The news.
You know, no pressure. You have the printed out news stories in front of you. Thank God I gave them to you earlier. So this should be the best news segment ever compared to how bad the rest of the show is going. So
I think this may be one of the best shows we've ever done.
Okay, so starting with the news, ironically.
Wait, what music is playing while you do the news?
That sounded like the Seinfeld.
The news sees the day.
No. How about?
Gay Happy Hour News.
It's official. Kim Davis is ironically yesterday's news because we're talking about it right now. Rowan County's most notorious clerk was on the short list for Time Magazine's Person of the Year after making national headlines earlier this year when she was jailed for refusing to issue marriage license to same-sex couples. Time let readers vote for who they thought should be named Person of the Year, despite a heavy PR push from her lawyers who urged supporters to vote for her. Davis didn't even come close to clinching the title. The anti-gay rights media darling came in 55 out of 60 with just 0.6 of the vote behind ISIS leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi.
What was that?
Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi.
He's my favorite Peanuts character.
Syrian president...
Charlie Brown's never had a Muslim friend.
Really?
Just saying.
True.
Well, unless like Snoopy converted and it's like the whole big conspiracy.
I'm not going to say it.
Syrian President Bashar Assad, Kim Kardashian, and Vladimir Putin. And she just narrowly squeaked ahead of anti-gay presidential hopeless Ted Cruz. If it's any consolation, Kimmy, Queerty readers voted you the biggest douche of the year in the 2015 Queerty Awards. Next. Nearly a dozen residents in the city of Far Texas have petitioned to change the name of Gay Drive because, well, it's a little too gay for them. Resident Maria Villarreal.
We have a gay street or a gay drive here in Orlando, don't we? Isn't it right by the P.F. Chang's?
What's the name of your street?
Yeah, right.
Oh, walked right into that one. Where were you born?
There's a historical landmark there.
Shut up.
So resident Maria Villarreal and her husband Mel have lived on the quiet street for more than 40 years. We're happy here. That's why we've never moved, she tells Valley Central News.
I saw the news. Yeah, I definitely had an accent.
But there's one thing that's always bothered them. The street's name. And the HOA fees. The word gay used to be a word that the meaning was being jolly, being happy, Mel lamented. Now they've added another meaning to it and they define themselves as gay people.
We are taking the word gay back.
Hold on.
We are taking gay back! No longer will we be happy and joyful. You are gay! I am gay! We are gay!
Now, this is the whole thought that when I read this earlier, I read it while you weren't in the room.
We're taking it back.
I was thinking, I'm like, I'm 90% sure in Texas, they're probably not from Texas. They probably immigrated here.
They're probably from somewhere else other than Texas. Why don't you just say that?
Yeah, they're probably from Mexico. And how dare you get mad at us when we... Wait, never mind.
Minorities oppressed. We should stick together.
But they've been there for 40 years. But
yeah,
this
they've
time,
been there for 40 years. Why are you complaining about the gay street? Who cares? It's been gay the whole time you live there.
Well,
your husband's
she's complaining
probably sleeping
because,
with people around the corner.
She's complaining because the word is different. You've been like very, very like
racist.
You've been like very tea party today.
I am. It's the white side of me coming out today.
Yes, sir. So what's the solution?
So he continued, I don't have anything against gay people. It's just that it has that meaning. Now, 4 decades after moving on to the block, she and her husband have launched a petition to change the street's name to Los Únicos Street. And
what does that mean?
The only ones.
They're going to kill everybody else on the street. Be the only ones who live there.
After a band Mr. Villarreal used to play in way back when.
He wants to name the street after his band.
Yeah. 11 other residents of Gay Drive signed the petition, but it was ultimately struck down in a 6-1 vote.
I'm changing the name of my street to Outloud Orlando Avenue.
By the Far City Commission.
GayRadioShow.com Boulevard.
Who said altering in the street's name could affect emergency services. But the Villarreals say they aren't giving up yet. They plan to pursuing the name change. Their latest suggestion is to find a way to combine the words gay and los únicos. Los únicos gays.
Yeah, exactly. The only gays.
Oh my goodness. Now, let me
the only gays.
The only gays. And they're going to put the sign right in front of those one gay people's house.
That if they've been there for 40 years, I think it's silly that they want to change the name, but at the same time, they've been there for 40 years. So if they felt like they wanted to change it,
they should change it 40 years ago.
We live on Happy Street.
Streets change now. Mm-hmm. Like they'll be here for like a year or two and they change
to, the name of President Obama or something. Who cares about his band from the 1920s?
Before you do your next news story, we're going to be sued by the MPAA. Because evidently the Movie Piracy Motion Picture Association of America doesn't like it when you broadcast information about how to, you know, do things that people might do. I don't know anything about it at all. And that was definitely not a call to action. We were just saying,
we didn't condone it.
Yeah, have you heard about this thing?
Don't do it. It's bad.
Yeah.
It's really bad. Don't do it.
You know, because movie stars, you know, like they deserve to make millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah. Well, I can't. Why I ride the bus here? They're worried about their.
It's not what Jesus would do.
Their residuals, which are like what, $1,000 a day.
Hey, I pay Netflix. I pay Hulu. I pay Amazon. I go to the theater. and I have children.
I mean, if we steal movies, Kevin Hart can only afford to buy like a medium-sized gold jacuzzi. Exactly. Which would still be a giant for him. Yeah.
Tiny little guy. No, P.S., I'm not racist against Mexican people either.
Oh.
I just,
let me explain myself.
I picked up on that when you said us.
If you're explaining, you're losing. Anytime you start explaining, you're losing. So just stop. Anytime you're explaining, you're losing.
I'm going to spit in your water. I'm going to have to write a long Facebook post about this, aren't I? About how I'm not racist.
I'm just proud you can write. Okay, go on.
So, just in time for World AIDS Day, a new study on teenagers in Asia has found that smartphone dating apps complicit the spread of HIV because the apps increase the opportunity for casual sex, researchers say. Wow, a big discovery there. Their growing use is a major factor in what is being dubbed a new HIV epidemic. For example, in the Philippines alone, HIV infection rates among teenagers have reportedly doubled in 4 years, while in Bangkok, young men have a 1 in 3 chance of being HIV positive.
Lady boys!
While worldwide, HIV infection rates are decreasing generally, UNICEF found that infections among people aged 10 to 19 have increased in Asia and the Pacific region, home to more than one half of the world's adolescents. Officially, there are at least 220,000 infected preteens and teens in the region, while the actual number is likely much higher.
That's terrible.
But at least in the U.S., mobile apps, Tinder and Grindr, have bristled at such connections, such as the one made on billboards that went up in Los Angeles in September.
I didn't hear about these. It wasn't until this article that I even knew this, because I think of like Hornet and Grindr and Scruff. They have like advertisements that say, hey, go get tested, know your status. They promote it. I know on one of the apps, you can actually put that, people put their status. They encourage you to. They ask you and say, hey, have you heard about like PrEP, about prevention, post-exposure prophylaxis, and things like that.
Grindr always has those advertisements.
Yeah, unless you're like,
open it up.
Unless you're like Grindr Extra. And like, dude, I didn't realize I was getting charged for Grindr Extra twice every 3 months. So all of a sudden I looked at my bank, this was like last week, and I said, why the heck did Grindr charge me $20.97 twice on the same day? So I messaged him. I was like, yo, listen, I haven't had Grindr Extra in months. I don't have it on my phone right now at all. Like, it's just a true story. And I definitely know that I'm not paying for it, nor should I be paying for it twice. And so I will give it to Grindr, you know, help. I sent, you know, the little automated message thing on their website, you know, with my email and my problem. And, you know, they got back to me within 24 hours, and within 48 hours, they had refunded the money. And they said, we're not going to. So heads up for the Grindr, you know, the Grindr support team.
Mm-hmm. At least somebody was there.
Yeah. But the billboards, they're saying.
Yeah. So the ads from the AIDS Healthcare Foundation suggested the apps were linked to the spread of STDs and offered free testing. In response, Grindr removed all of the AHF's ads, and Tinder called its lawyers, who sent the group a cease and desist letter.
So basically the group was trying to make statements and say, hey, stay off apps, they cause AIDS.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the company's going, yo, don't besmirch our product here. That's defamation. That's libel. Yeah. It's
would they win if Grindr sued?
For the legal elements of defamation is publication of a false statement of fact that hurts someone's reputation. Now, that's for a private person. If it's a public figure or celebrity, you have to prove the statement was made with actual malice, meaning reckless disregard for the truth, or knowing the statement was false and make it anyway. I don't necessarily know where a business would fall in terms of private versus public person. You know, they don't have a contractual relationship. It wouldn't be tortious interference with a contract. But, you know, they definitely do have a cause of action saying, hey, what you're stating could cause damage or harm to our brand, our stigma, our brand, our product, you know, what we do. So, I mean, I think there would definitely be some legal grounds, but as to what it would specifically be, I mean, it might ring true from some piece of that. Misrepresentation, maybe, making a false statement, but that's usually with an intent to defraud. So I don't really know.
Cool.
Thank you for asking my question.
So thank you very much for doing the news today, Alex.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Alex, the news.
This is one of the things I learned this week, but this is just, you know, whenever I just want to say something, it's because it's something going on in my life that's kind of weighing on my mind. So it's more, I say it, I share kind of what I'm learning and going through, and you can draw your own conclusions because the details are irrelevant. Be aware that in your friendships and your relationships and life, that when it comes the time to move on from people, that closure is very, very important, even if it's been a year, year and a half, 2 years. And just be aware that with closure being important, sometimes someone that you need closure with is either too afraid to give you that closure or they're unwilling to give you that closure. Don't be afraid to accept that you may have to give yourself closure if someone else is willing to give it to you. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, if you give it to yourself, you deserve to move on regardless of what you or someone else, regardless of what either of you may have done or may have said. So always be willing to accept closure unto yourself if you can't get it, you know, from the other person and move on. So that's just something that I've come at peace with. I had a story about my trans Latino status and Rachel Dolezal, but I was more interested in the third thing I learned this week. When we were talking in the car, I was talking about you, Alex, because Jeff was asking who's on the show today and he had not met you yet. And I was saying, oh, yeah, you know, he's 20. And he started making, he's like,
not about him.
He started
just in general.
Okay. He started scoffing and poo-pooing and pshawing because, you know,
pshaw.
And he's got some pretty strong views about, you know, younger guys. Now, usually you hear the reverse argument in the gay community about ageism, where it's like, hey, you're 30, you're dead now. Young gay guys don't appreciate the power and beauty of their youth and, you know, discrimination, or, you know, hey, you old creeper trolls aren't allowed in, but young, cute little guys are in. But he's got a completely different take on it. So he's kind of like, so I was trying to convince him that you're like a good person.
I didn't say he was a bad person. I'm just saying that, my ageism is reverse. I usually don't like to sometimes associate with the younger crowd, especially in the gay community.
I mean, neither do I, to be honest. I mean, look at who I'm amongst.
Because, so, you know, exactly. I go to Art Basel.
You call me old?
I go to Art Basel and I quit the top bun trend before it became unpopular. So clearly I'm much more mature and ahead of my time.
That is the main reason why I don't hang out with people younger than me. It's sometimes not you, sweetheart.
she called you sweetheart.
It's Lady Perry.
I'm still thinking about my
she's
race.
Such a she's such a very
it's just to me it's just they're on a different level. They're very haughty and they're just on a different level.
Yeah,
they,
no, for sure.
And not haughty with a OTTIE.
No, haughty with HAU.
Hofty.
See, I look at it this way.
I would not date anybody who is under 30. I can't.
Okay, I think dating is
same.
I think dating is one thing, because, you know, if you don't have I'm not going to say for me under 30, but if you date someone that's significantly younger than you are, then yeah, there can be, and I've experienced that firsthand. There can be a difference, no matter how much you may like someone. There can be a difference in emotional maturity, life experiences, etc. But you can always be surprised, and, you know, if there's chemistry, there's chemistry.
True.
You know, and this is coming from a reformed twink slayer. Like, it just, it comes down to, you know, what your
reformed
sense of.
So you've changed.
Well, you know, I mean, I was trying to explain, you know, because, I mean, from what he said, he made it sound like that guys that are that young don't have anything to offer. And my argument was, well, no, that's why I have people that are on the show that are all very different, because they all offer something different. And, you know, so Alex's perspective, you know, even though he's not the typical, you know,
definitely not
younger guy, it brings something different to the show, because this show has been on the air for 6 years. I noticed it today when I'm doing my news prep. I think about and I'm drawn to different things to talk about than I was 6 years ago when I was 24. Like, I grew as a broadcaster, but part of me doesn't want to grow up and grow old, because I don't want the show to become like the serious gay radio
shows.
I guess I kind of feel like, in addition to, you know, staying true to myself, it's a different voice. Like, I'm no longer 24. So the things that the 20-year-old can bring
different
to the show.
Yeah.
And then it keeps me from having to get my hands dirty and go, like, rooting around and, like, you know, get all that information from 20-year-olds through assimilation or boom, snap, popping it. I don't have to, like, suck the information out of them, you know?
No more bedside talk for him.
Oh. Yeah, it's good to have a different perspective from different age groups.
You know, that'd be a great explanation. But I wasn't a whore. I really was just trying to get good content by, you know, connecting with a lot of people over the years.
You're like one of those journalists who, like, sleeps with the story.
Like, a friend of mine, a drag queen in South Florida, she works with some 20-year-olds, and he's give or take in my age group. And I had mentioned this to you guys earlier, that she was like, So they were talking about Halloween costumes and Elvira came up and they had no idea who Elvira was. And she's like, I find that offensive. Like, read a soup can, learn something, you kids. She literally said that. She said, read something, kids.
I don't think Elvira
Is Elvira on HuffPo?
She's just like, you know, when we were, like a lot of us when we were growing up, you know, late 20s, 30s, even 40s, when we were growing up, we knew things that came before us. We learned about things on our own.
I'll be honest, I didn't. I used to get reamed all the time on the show.
You know a lot of stuff.
I do now. I used to get reamed on the show all the time for going, why do I need to care about Mommy Dearest? Why is Judy Garland a gay icon? Like, I didn't get, and older gay guys would get ticked off. They go, well, how do you not know? Like, I don't know, but it wasn't part of my curriculum. I didn't know about Stonewall until like maybe the fifth or sixth show on the air. Like, drag queen Miss Sammy Singers, it was during the first broadcast we did during Gay Days back in 2009. Yeah. And she goes, oh, yeah, well, you know, it's this is why this is Pride Month and Gay Days and Stonewall. And I go, what's Stonewall? And this drag queen threw a purse at my head because I'd never, you know, so well deserved. But I'm saying, like, you can't be mad at someone for not knowing
something. It's just, it's frustrating and it's disheartening.
You could flip the argument and go, you haven't done a good enough job of teaching. She hasn't done a good enough job of making herself relevant so that people need to care about how Elvira is.
My nieces and nephews that are in their teens and 20s, they know anything about the 70s, 80s, and 90s.
Well, I mean,
he is wearing
Tiffany Amber Thiessen on his shirt.
It's Kelly Kapowski.
I took the time to listen to my parents' records, to their disco records, and watch their movies.
But see, that was a personal choice. You can't expect other people
to do that. No, I'm not
going to
expect everybody to do that, but you know things from before your time as well. So,
but I think it's a generational thing.
It seems the millennial generation doesn't do that.
I feel like this whole conversation makes us old, though. We're like, oh, what's wrong with these kids these days?
No, it's not that. It's that I feel that out of all the generations, it seems like the millennial generation is the only one who doesn't really.
I'm still technically a millennial. I'm the last year of what's viable as a millennial. You know, anyway, but I thought that was a valid point. And so,
you're like, everyone's a millennial. Like, millennial starts after 1976. Like,
maybe Jeff X could, like, when, I know you're going
Generation
to Puerto
Rico. No, that's I'm going to that's Puerto Generation Rico. Y.
I'm sorry, real quick. Generation X goes until like 79 or 80. If you're like early 80s and you graduate, I think it's more of graduation. If you graduated high school between like 98 or 99 and like 2003, 2004, like that's kind of like the hub. Like you started like your kind of adult life, your young adult life at the start of the new millennium. That makes more sense to me.
To me, the millennials are the 20s and teens right now.
Yeah.
That's me, for me. So.
As our outro music starts to play, Jeff X, you're going to Puerto Rico. When you get back, though, maybe that'll be a good thing. Jeff X could do like his relevant history, you know? Like we could do a bit where you come out with like a little bit like on the bus and you know, like you teach us, you do like a different lesson every week. Like this week I learned about Saved by the Bell, or this week I learned about
today in gay history.
Well, I do I have one little
Elvira's,
history real quick.
Elvira's soup.
No,
that's real quick. We have to do a bit, so it has to be scheduled. So anyway, but thank you for coming in.
No problem.
What's it about? Just tell me what it's about.
70% of the book of the rum sold in the U.S. comes from Puerto Rico.
Okay,
there you go.
See, Alex, did you know that?
Yeah, I mean, I drink a lot of rum when I go there, so maybe.
Alex, thanks for coming in, man. Thanks for helping destroy my entire, you know. I don't even know what the word is, my entire routine, so that the show has been unplugged today. But thank you very much for adjusting and adapting. You know, I love you. I'm glad you're here.
Thanks.
What do you have going on this week?
Are you going to go see Clockwork Orange in a couple of weeks?
I'm not going to go see Clockwork Orange. That's the scariest movie in the entire world. And
it's
we'll talk
delicious.
About it another time.
I love that movie.
No, I hate that movie. That's the scariest movie. And we'll talk about that first thing next class. I will not see that movie. That's my terror movie. I will not see that movie. I hate that movie. And I'm getting,
I've never even seen it.
What do you have going on this week?
So sick.
I have a charity event on the 17th at Southern Nights, the Broadway Christmas by Kaya Adana.
Yes. All that money goes to benefit the Trevor Project, the number one LGBT suicide prevention network hotline thing. Yes. How'd your stand-up comedy go last night?
They can't.
Oh.
They got pushed back.
Okay.
it will be in February.
Well, good. You have some time to write some good jokes.
See you didn't show up.
No, I went to the thing last night. That's why I asked you where I was, how it was. Anyway, so follow us on gayradioshow.com. There's videos up there, links to everything, and follow us on Twitter at Gay Radio Show. And after I do my standard intro before we hand things over to Leah with the DJ Leah, we're gonna try and remember what our outro song says and all the different clips in it. So that's it for today's special unplugged edition of Outlaw Orlando, the Homo Happy Hour, gayradioshow.com. Always remember, we are one human family, sometimes dysfunctional, but still a family. So until next time, I wish you enough.
It's for the millennials.
I'm Justice, love you. And then the outro music just playing like, welcome to the creep show. You are gay.
Leah is beautiful, by the way.
Yeah, do you remember what happens in the outro song?
No.
No.
You never listened to the outro?
I've only heard it twice.
That's what I gotta get out of here.
Okay, anyway. DJ Leah, we're handing things over to you. I don't have any music. You got it?
Yeah.
We're waving at her.
You are gay.
I'm ruined on the air. I'm ruined in this.
How are you ruined on the air?
You made me look like an idiot.
What goes in and out of my mouth is my own responsibility, and I do who I please, and I please who I do. Okay? Okay.
Gorgeous.
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 And fabulous.
We here at Out Loud Orlando give that 1, 2, 3.
Gorgeous.
Didn't go to sleep, went to court, and now I'm very, very legal.
Yay!
That was the gayest arms I've ever seen to express that.
Now I'm very, very legal.
Jizz. It's a talk and entertainment show. I host it. I want it to be entertaining to all people, gay, straight, young, old. I happen to be gay. You know, I don't want to do a radio show where it's us versus them mentality. We're one human family.
And the more you tout yourself around town as the happy homo, I mean, that's just great. That's f***ing great. I hate the word homo. I can't stand it. If someone calls someone gay, it's one thing. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate that show. I hate everything about it.
Can you get over the friggin' name of the pig and pat me in the back for matching the funds?
No. No. Because
we're matching the funds.
No.
It's Out Loud Orlando, the Homo Happy
Hour.
Why? Raising money for a good cause.
Because
get
you,
over it.
You
it's
could
such
not,
a good idea.
No, no, it's not.
It.
No, it's not.
You're
you know why?
You're passionate about it.
Do you know why?
You're passionate about AIDS education because you hate AIDS pig. You would buy a shirt that says, I hate the AIDS pig.
No.
Yes, you would.
Goddess warrior princess Xena style.
It's,
It's all food.
Out Loud Orlando, ruining lives all on across
a,
America.
On a daily basis.
Got any poppers?
No.
I'm not saying that.
I'm like lobbing up beach balls for you to like come back with, you know, your sniper rifle of ha ha.
Dating the same guy.
Oh, that just came
Wait,
out.
Wait, what?
Look around you. Everything the light touches is gay.
Out Loud Orlando, the homo happy hour.
Of course.